Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Collegiately speaking.
Walks into the end zone.
Touchdown.
Punches to the end zone.
Touchdown.
This is Collegiately Speaking. With the voice of Northwestern football and basketball, Dave Enning, and former Northwestern star quarterback, Dan Persa. It's Collegiately Speaking. Let's go.
Wait a minute. How is this possible? How is another season already upon us? Well, it is late August, so it seems to be just about time for college football to return, and that means another season of Collegiately Speaking. Our kickoff edition as we get set for college football 2024 on the brave new world, the new landscape of college football. Realigned conferences, expanded playoffs, a brand new home for 2 years for the Northwestern Wildcats, who will christen Northwestern Medicine Field at Martin Stadium their temporary home Saturday against Miami of Ohio. So glad you could join us for another season of Collegiately Speaking. Great to be joined once again by good old number 7 of the Northwestern Wildcats, Dan Persa. And Dan, here we go. We've had a chance the last couple of days, you and I, to talk a little bit about this program. We've seen practice. We've talked to people within the program, and really a lot of interest, a lot of excitement, a lot of optimism, and a much different feeling around this team than we had this time when we sat down last year.
Yeah, like you said, it's crazy that football season is here. I'm hoping some of the fall weather rolls in after this hot week in Chicago. But yeah, you know, Northwestern has a lot of momentum, a lot of great storylines, new coaching. So looking forward to see what they put on the field against Miami in a couple days here. But as we've talked about in the past, it's going to be a tough slate of Big Ten schedule. And you know, hopefully they can just take it one game at a time and stay healthy. That's the most important thing.
Well, it is certainly a demanding schedule. We'll talk about that. It starts with Miami of Ohio this week. We're also going to visit with A.J. Henning, the star wide receiver, kick returner for the Wildcats. He's going to join us here in a few moments, coming off the practice field up in Evanston. But it all starts against Miami, a team which won the MAC a year ago, beating Toledo in the MAC championship game, and once again picked to finish in the top one or two in the Mid-American Conference. And Miami, for whatever reason, over the years, they have had the Wildcats' number going back to 1995, when they were the only team to beat Northwestern until USC knocked them off in the Rose Bowl.
Which doesn't help me, because again, my wife went to Miami, Ohio, so she certainly lets me know that fact. But yeah, you know, it's starting off with a very, very solid MAC team in Miami, a very experienced quarterback, and they're not coming in here to just collect a check and have fun and play a Big Ten game. They're coming in to win. So Northwestern has to be ready, and I think it's a great game to gear them up for the rest of the non-conference schedule and heading into the Big Ten schedule.
Three straight games at new Northwestern Medicine Field at Martin Stadium to start the season. Miami of Ohio this week, then next Friday night a visit from the Duke Blue Devils, and then Saturday night, September 14th, Eastern Illinois, before the Cats go on the road for the first time for their first Big Ten game, and the first Big Ten game to be played by the University of Washington out in Seattle, a team which played for the national championship a year ago, won the Pac-12, and so here we go. They've had a coaching change, but certainly the Cats are going to I get a pretty good feeling of where they stand, I think, after the month of September, because that's a very demanding opening month.
Absolutely, and a lot of changes at Duke as well, with a new coach and new quarterback. So, like you said, hopefully they can string a couple wins together going into Seattle, and it's a tough place to play. While it's a new coach and a lot of new players there, it's still a great program and a great home field advantage. And after that, they had kind of the meat of the Big Ten schedule, and then, you know, finish off towards the end of the year with Michigan, Ohio State, and Illinois.
Well, this is a Northwestern team which won 8 games a year ago. They won their last 4 games. You and I had the honor of presiding over a gathering put together by our friend Lake the Posts at the Double Clutch establishment in Evanston a few nights ago, and a great group of Wildcat fans there to benefit True and You, the Northwestern collective. And, you know, I think there is a really positive vibe about it. You look at what they accomplished, 8 wins, including the win over Utah in the Las Vegas Bowl. And really, Dan, I look back at last season and see some games which, yeah, they could have gone the other way. They went the Wildcats way. They could have gone the other way. At the same time, there were a couple games they lost that they easily could have won. And we could be sitting here talking about a 10-win season. Now, coulda, woulda, right. But, you know, I think they learned a lot of lessons last year, and a lot of those same guys are back this year.
Yeah, I think it'll be exciting. And you know, I think some of those games, Nebraska, Iowa, missing Ben Bryant really hurt, just because the offense was clearly different. Frankly, it was different coming into his injury in Penn State. And then when he came back healthy, it looked like a completely different team, kind of getting the ball in the playmakers' hands. AJ Henning, we'll talk to in a second here. But, you know, I'm really just excited to see what Coach Lujan's going to bring to the offense, because there is a lot of talent at the skill positions. Obviously, some question marks with the offensive line, but, you know, just getting the playmakers the ball will be fun to watch.
Zach Lujan, the new offensive coordinator of the Wildcats, and as I was looking at the staff, and it is remarkable, in 2 years, the entire coaching staff has turned over with one exception. That's Tim McGarrigle, who's in a new position and in terms of overseeing the defense. Now, defensive coordinator, he had been the linebackers coach. But Zach Lujan, great credentials, young guy, dynamic offense, South Dakota State. He comes in, he competed against Northwestern head coach David Braun when he was at North Dakota State. And so they have a familiarity, both in terms of working together and now, but prior to this, coaching against each other. It's kind of interesting. I don't know how many times you would see a guy go out and hire a coach who coached really directly against him, and yet, you know, it seems to be a really positive development.
You would think so, and you look at Coach Braun's kind of resume, right? He didn't spend a ton of time, you know, even at North Dakota State or obviously at Northwestern, having the chance to network with other coaches, right? He probably has a smaller network than most, and I think, you know, when it came time to make the program his own, he went to people that he knew and trusted, and probably also people that gave him a lot of trouble, right? And that's where he probably stumbled upon Lujan, and again, I just looking forward to seeing the energy that he brings and talking to the guys, whether it be Jack Lausch or the other quarterbacks or the wide receivers. It seems like he's really simplified things. And again, putting a high importance in getting the ball into the playmaker's hands.
What do you expect to see from this offense? Because, I mean, it's going to be different. And that's really the gist of it, right? Getting the ball in playmakers' hands and getting them in space.
Yeah, I think we talked about it a little bit a couple of days ago, but I think just the simplification of the offense and really letting the playmakers dictate what's going to happen. You know, I think some of the pushback some of the players felt over the last couple of years is just the complicated schemes and the lack of margin for error. I think if you ask any player, whether it be a great receiver or a great running back, they want a simplified playbook that they can do many things with, right? They can call one play, but it can go 5 different ways based on, you know, the choices that people make throughout the play. So I think that's what he's going to get back to, a little bit more of easy throws and catches and just, you know, getting people involved more in the game early so they can make the big plays a little bit easier late in the game. So again, it's something that I've been talking about for a while that I thought Northwestern had to do it for both of the last couple offensive coordinators, just getting people easy touches and getting the playmakers instead of, you know, 2, 3, 4 touches, you know, getting that number over 10 outside the running back. So I think they're going to do that. You know, while Coach Lujan is a whiz kid, he hasn't coached against the caliber of coaches he's going to face in the Big Ten this year. So it'll certainly be an adjustment. So hopefully that scheme holds up.
It doesn't necessarily mean we're going to see Air Lujan either.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think he's from what I know about his scheme, he's pretty multiple, whether it's the run game or throwing game, of finding the right thing, right? It's not like, you know, you're coaching against Mike Mike Leach, where it's the ball's going in the air no matter what. I think he's going to take what the defense gives him and scheme everything up from a run game perspective, because there is a lot of talent in that backfield, right? With kind of the three-headed monster. At the same time, there's a lot of tight ends, right? They probably have 4 or 5 tight ends that'll play all season long that are good blockers and good pass catchers. So I think you're going to see a lot of, you know, 1 to 2 running back sets, two tight end sets, you know, which you can throw out of, but you're also going to have a good defense to run out of too.
Let me get your quarterback's perspective on the quarterbacks. And again, Coach Braun has put off any kind of announcement on who the starting quarterback will be until they run out onto the field Saturday afternoon a little after 2:30, whether it would be Mike Wright, the transfer from Mississippi State, or Jack Lausch, the holdover out of Brother Rice. As you've pointed out, Dan, these are two guys with kind of similar skill sets. So it's got to be tough for the coaches when you're looking at guys who do similar things, bring similar talents to the table, to split them, to find a reason that one guy should start over the other.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, they're both very good runners, right? And a lot of that is hard to judge until you get to game day, right? It's not like they're scrambling in practice or getting tackled in practice, right? So I think that's kind of a given. I think the coaches will go at the end of the day with whoever performs better throwing the ball and probably lean to more experience, which, you know, might lead to a right starting. But again, I think both the guys are going to play. It's a tough schedule. It's a physical schedule. It's really hard to stay healthy for, you know, 12 to 15 games, depending on how far you go. So, you know, I think it's a benefit, frankly, that the players have a similar skill set other than like last year, where Brent Sullivan was a little bit more dual threat when Ben Bryant was true pro style. You have to tweak the offense a little bit there, and that changes the offense, but it also changes how some of the receivers expect to get the ball and things of that nature. So, you know, I think it's a positive. I think Jack seems to be the future of the program and the position, you know, notwithstanding any other future transfers. And Mike Wright seems to be kind of the present, you know, experienced guy, played in at Vandy and Mississippi State against really top talent, and understands what it's like to be in the trenches. So, we'll see where it goes. I think they're both exciting players, and obviously I'm biased, but I enjoy watching the dual threat guys a little bit more.
Yeah, you are a little biased.
Slightly,
that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think it's a good point about Lausch, because even if, first of all, if Wright ends up starting, which I think many expect based on the track record, where we've seen transfer quarterbacks come in similar situations, Peyton Ramsey a few years ago, Ben Bryant certainly last year, and have success. But you want to be able to develop guys. Northwestern developed Dan Persa, developed Mike Kafka, developed C.J. Bechet and others, and Brett Bazinet. And so you want to have those guys in your pipeline. But at the same time, if you can get a guy who can come in and has a lot of experience, especially looking at the schedule the Wildcats are facing, that's a positive.
Yeah, but to your point, and it's a good one, that I think Northwestern has always wanted to get back, and Coach Braun has said this, but get back to the developmental mindset. And it's just it's not always sustainable to be able to go grab somebody in free agency every summer, you know, every spring, summer, and have success, right? It's while everybody thinks it's very easy to come in and learn a new playbook and learn, you know, everybody's 100 names and develop all these relationships. You want guys that are homegrown players that waited their turn, you know, have great rapport within the locker room, and when they have their chance to excel, they do so. So I think that's one thing I've been a little bit disappointed with in the past couple years, is just a lack of, I don't know whether it's recruiting or development or a combination of both, but I think Northwestern wants to get back to guys like Jack, where, you know, recruit them, develop them, and then, you know, have a great career and send them off to the NFL.
The Wisconsin 23. Bryant back to throw on third down. Lets it go. Wide open. Touchdown! All by himself is A.J. Henning. He didn't have a defender within about 15 yards of him. Ben Bryant to A.J. Henning, and the Wildcats take the lead.
One of the bigger plays of one of the bigger wins for the Wildcats last year. And we've talked, Dan, about playmakers. When you talk about playmakers on this team, here's the guy you're speaking of. A.J. Henning, in his second year with the Wildcats. Another fine representative of the Griffins of Lincoln Way East last year. Well, that was one of his 45 catches, 418 yards, scored a bunch of touchdowns through the air, another one on the ground, returned punts and kickoffs. The most all-purpose yards by an NU wide receiver since Austin Carr in 2016, a guy we saw just the other night. And now on the watch list for the Paul Hornung Award, the Senior Bowl, and he's with us now. AJ, thanks for taking the time to be with us. Dave Ennett and Dan Persa here. We talked to you last year, and now a year since your arrival, over a year since your arrival in Evanston. Give us an idea, expectation-wise, has it been what you expected? Has it exceeded your expectations?
I think just coming in here, it's exceeded all expectations. You know, when you come into a new environment like Northwestern, you know, one of the reasons why I chose Northwestern coming out of the portal was the people. You know, the people here have been great. You know, a year ago, the team welcomed me in with open arms, and we were able to do something special last year. Just having a whole offseason under our belt and under my belt specifically, just kind of getting to know the program and the Wildcat way and just getting to know everybody on a different level, you know, going through offseason workouts and then a spring ball and then a whole summer here has been really good. And just building relationships further along and continuing to develop as the time being here has gone.
You still had a decision to make after last season, and I know Wildcat fans were excited when you and Bryce Kurtz both said you were going to come back for another year. When you, having been through the portal, what's it like to be in the portal? And even if you're not in it, do you have friends get in your ear and say, "Hey, come play with me," or are there certain boundaries that players established and respect, like, "Hey, I'm part of this program and you're part of your program, and let's just, you know, I respect that"?
I think there's many layers to it. I mean, I you got to look at kind of, you know, the mindset of the player and what you want to get out of your experience going into it. I think if you're in the portal and looking for all the right wrong things and chasing the wrong things, then you'll have a negative experience. But I mean, truly, I was looking for somewhere where I can call home, somewhere where, you know, I could develop relationships and, you know, play football at a high level and also exceed in the classroom at a high level. And I think, which played a role in my decision, just the like-minded individuals here, you know, the type of people who come to Northwestern want to excel on the field as well as off the field at the highest level. So I think, you know, that playing a factor and that playing a role was definitely a part of my decision-making. And I think just going into the portal with that mentality of, you know, I want to gain something to help me further myself as an individual and as a player and help me develop more on and off the field is something that's really played a part and that I think has paid dividends to this point.
AJ, Dan Persa here. Thanks again for joining us. Maybe talk a little bit about Coach Lujan, some of the strengths he brings, some of the new energy that he brings. Obviously, you know, looking forward to seeing how he utilizes you and frankly hoping you get, you know, over 10 touches a game and you know, in many different ways. So maybe talk about what he brings to the program, the adjustment period, and what it's been like for the offense.
I think looking at his background coming in, you know, you see the type of program he's came from and, you know, the things he was able to accomplish at that level. You know, he's a winner. He has a winning mentality, and I think he's brought that kind of to our team as far as the offense, as far as being aggressive. You know, he wants to be aggressive, take shots down the field, and I think the biggest thing he preaches to us is it's players, not plays. You know, he wants to maximize the offensive strengths and get players in space and have them have the opportunity to make plays when it's appropriate time during the game. So I think that's going to be a big thing. I think the offense is, you're going to see, is going to be more aggressive. It's going to be getting the ball to our playmakers and obviously getting us in space and, you know, having explosive plays.
Yeah, maybe talk a little bit about the quarterback position. Obviously, the two guys with Mike and Jack, two good options, in my opinion, with similar skill sets. What's been the process there with you guys? I mean, obviously, only one guy can run out at a time, but seem like, you know, two very capable runners and throwers and guys that are trying to get you the ball as much as possible.
Yeah, like you said, two similar skill sets, but they both bring, you know, different dynamics to the game. I think they're both leaders in their own right, which is very huge when you look at the quarterback positions. Both been able to establish themselves within the locker room and within the guys. And, you know, two guys who we both, as an offense, feel comfortable with back there if they, you know, get their opportunities. But, you know, throughout the course of, you know, this summer and the spring, you know, we've been able to see, you know, those two guys compete, and it's been great for the development of both guys, and both, you know, just each day competing, raising the bar for each other. So we'll feel good about whoever's back there when it comes time Saturday, and whoever's not, you know, if they ever get an opportunity in the future, you know, we'll feel good about that as well.
Yeah, for sure. Maybe talk a little bit about the wide receiver room. Obviously, you and Bryce are known commodities, and fingers crossed you guys can get as many touches and stay as healthy as possible. But maybe behind you, who are some guys that Wildcat fans can look to you know, maybe not know that didn't have the biggest year last year, not the biggest name, but you think will really have a breakout year?
Yeah, I think our receiver room as a whole, you'll see some new faces, some new guys pop up and you know, carve a rollout for themselves. You know, like you said, me and Bryce, you know, experienced guys who have been there kind of leading the room. And then you got Frank Covey, who's going to be a guy who's going to get a lot of time this year and going to be able to make plays. Ricky Amorazi, he's been a guy who stepped up big this fall camp. And then CJ Johnson, he's another guy right there with them who's going to you're going to see him this fall as well. So, you know, the wide receiver room from top to bottom, I think we got a good group of guys, and we compete and push ourselves. And it starts with our coach, our wide receiver coach, Coach Benz, pushes us to our limits every day and expects us to withhold the standard within the room. And I think it starts with the older guys, but it trickles down throughout the room, and it's going to be an exciting season for the Wildcat wide receiver room.
Well, it all starts on Saturday, and I know how excited fans are about Northwestern Medicine Field at Martin Stadium. You guys, I think a little over 2 weeks ago, had your first chance to go in there and practice. What's that been like, and what are your expectations for playing in that stadium?
I think, you know, when they kind of announced that, you know, we were going to be playing right on our practice field, you know, nobody really knew what that would look like. Kind of see some mock designs of what it would look like, and then kind of seeing the pieces throughout the summer come to life and, you know, really getting a chance to go out there and practice and see what it would feel like for a game. You know, you can envision a game in this on this field, and you can see, you just see it come to life throughout the whole building process. And I think we're really excited. I know there's a buzz on campus about it, you know, being right there in our own backyard. You know, it's a level of familiarity with us just because we practice there every day. So, you know, when coach calls a play and you know, you make a catch on the sideline exactly right there, and, you know, you kind of get a feel of, you know, I've gotten this rep before because I've done this play in practice. I made that catch. And then, you know, when you go out there on Saturday, you can already envision success. So, you know, just having that, you know, just having that to it, I think it's going to pay a great deed to this team. And I think we're excited. We're excited about it. And I know fans are, and we're excited to get going on Saturday.
Well, you know how students have come out and supported the basketball team at Welsh Ryan, and what a difference that's made for them to have that student turnout. And I mean, I got to think you're going to get the same kind of thing playing on the lakefront, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, like, talking to people not a part of the team, I think they're excited about, you know, just seeing it. You know, it's so unique, just having it right there on the lake. It's something that, you know, not a lot of people get to have that experience. So, you know, people just gravitate towards it and want to see it and want to come out and see what the environment is going to be like. I think it's going to be a great environment, going to have a lot of students there, going to have a lot of people in the community trying to come out and a lot of fans trying to come out. So I think it's going to be a great environment. It's going to be exciting.
It's going to be fun. All right, last thing, AJ, because I know you are a future broadcaster once your football playing days are behind you. But last year, you and Cam Johnson cooked up some great videos, some terrific content on social media. So who steps in now for Cam? Are we going to see those videos again?
Yeah, hopefully we can get them going soon. I got to find a new co-host. I got some guys on my list who might be there, but we'll see. We'll see. I got to do some auditions in the background.
give us a name or two.
I got Mike Wright would be a great candidate.
Really?
To be a co-host. He has a lot of personality. Kenny Suarez on defense. He has a lot of personality. Those are two guys who come to my head first. But
well, good. When you get through the auditions, let us know. We'll make sure we let everybody listening to us know where they can find those videos. So they were terrific. AJ, thanks for the time. It's great to talk to you, and we'll look forward to seeing you out there on the field on Saturday.
looking forward to it. Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks, you AJ. Bet. There he is, AJ Henning, number 8 of the Wildcats, and poised to have a big year for the Cats. And it all starts this week, and that's part of the full schedule this weekend in college football. A good guy, and I think really, you know, you wonder why guys transfer, Dan, and you hear it in his voice, and he found a place where he really feels a part of it.
Yeah, it's a big deal. I think so many people, like you mentioned, just focus on, you know, how much money they're going to get or if they're going to play right away or the caliber of the program. But at the end of the day, you know, people choose where they want to go because of the guys in the locker room and because of the day-to-day life, right? You know, at the end of the day, they're still, you know, college kids and college athletes. And, you know, they spend a lot of time on their sport, but, you know, fitting in is important too.
All right, it's time now for a staple of Collegiately Speaking. And this is the moment where we call on Super Joe for his predictions of the week. Joe, take it away.
Prediction: to say or estimate a specified thing will happen in the future.
Super Joe's predictions.
Dave? Dan? Jackie Boy? Is that really you? I can't speak for you guys, but after a baseball season straight out of the depths of you-know-where, I could not be more ready for football. The 2023 season was a pretty successful one for us. Northwestern's coach David Braun is the reigning Big Ten Coach of the Year. And glancing back at my record for weekly picks on this year's program, it looks like I went 15-0 with a win over my rival, a Rose Bowl victory, and capped it all off with a national championship. Oh wait, that's the University of Michigan. My bad. Anyways, Week 0 was a nice little appetizer, but we get into some really fun matchups this weekend. Number 13 LSU and one of the new members of the Big Ten Conference, number 23 Southern California, square off in the Modelo Vegas Kickoff Classic at 6:30 Sunday evening on ESPN. The Bayou Bengals and Trojans had two of the most prolific offenses in the sport last year, with both in the top 15 for points scored per game. Defense, on the other hand, not so good. They combined to give up nearly 63 points per game in 23. They both lose key pieces as their respective quarterbacks ended up being the first two selections in the NFL draft. Despite having to replace the last two Heisman Trophy winners, I think we see fireworks, especially early. Let's take over 31 in the first half. Back to you guys.
All right, Super Joe, already warmed up, and it's only week one, so we will certainly look for many outstanding predictions from Super Joe throughout the course of the season. Next week, the Wildcats have a Friday night game, so we'll be with you probably a little earlier next week. But in the meantime, don't forget, Saturday afternoon, the Wildcats and the Miami Redhawks at Northwestern Medicine Field at Martin Stadium. And, of course, you can hear it on WGN Radio. I'll be along with the pregame at 2 o'clock with Ted Albrecht, and then the kickoff at 2:30. Many thanks to our engineer, Dan Long, our producer, Jack Heinrich. For number 7, Dan Persa, I'm Dave Ennett. Thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you again next week on Collegiately Speaking.